Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Georgia. With me is Greg Velasquez in Iowa. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. Thank you for downloading this episode of Scuffed. The U.S. men defeated Martinique, a territory of the Republic of France, 6-1 on Thursday night in Kansas City in the Gold Cup group stage. We're ready to recap it. Hey, Greg.
Bells, how are you doing? I had been led to believe there were no easy games in CONCACAF, but I feel like that was a pretty easy game in CONCACAF.
Yeah, you were misled.
That game has no bearing on our FIFA ranking. For anyone who meticulously tracks FIFA rankings, because Martinique is not a FIFA eligible nation.
I think it's just you and Jordan Boddy who are doing that. the Martinique lineup, I'll give that first, was Meslien in goal, Dondon, Babine, Crétinois, and Burner. I'm sure that's pronounced Burner, across the back line.
Are you sure that it's pronounced that way?
I'm not sure. And then Camille, Herrel, Marajo, Fortuné, Abal, and Rivière are the front six, I guess you'd say. And we had most of the ball. Let's see. Let's talk about how we came out. It was a little bit surprising, I think. 3-4-3, or I guess you have some ideas on how to recite those numbers.
Well, my initial instinct is to call it a 3-4-3 with like a box midfield. A couple of eights, couple of tens, wing backs and a striker. But that's, I mean, you can get as arbitrary as you want on your distinctions of how you label a formation. So probably better to just talk about the roles people would play so we can just go through the lineup and do that.
Okay. Matt Turner was the goalkeeper. The center backs were Walker Zimmerman, James Sands, and Miles Robinson from right to left. The wing backs were Bello on the left, George Bello, and Shaq Moore on the right. And the center mids were Gianluca Busio and Eric Williamson.
And kind of as a double pivot, yep. I think, which is definitely a change from what we'd seen. The last several games, we had seen either Jackson Ewell or Tyler Adams, or Busio when he came in for Ewell, as very much like a lone six right in front of the two center backs.
And then the half-space merchants were Christian Roldan and Matthew Hoppe, and they truly were half space merchants for a lot of this game. And the striker was Daryl Dike, who had a brace and played a role in an own goal as well. So I was happy. Go ahead.
You were happy with what? Were you happy to see the names on the lineup? You were happy to see how the shape kind of played out?
Yeah, I was pretty much happy with everything. I mean, I was pretty happy with the lineup and the names in the lineup. I wanted to see, I thought this was a good chance to see Bello over Vines. I wanted to see Hoppe. I wanted to see DK at striker. I did not want to see Jackson Ewell at in the center midfield role. So, yeah, everything was. And I wanted to see James Sands, and I think he was one of the top performers of the night too.
Yep, and I wanted to see Legette and Acosta rested since we've got Canada on short turnaround. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I wanted to see Roldan as well, and I wanted to see him not in midfield. I would have been a little bit disappointed if that's where he'd gone, which he could have. You know, we could have used him there to give guys a break, Legette and Acosta a break. But I was actually like curious to see how he would look in that sort of free attacking role. We're calling him half space merchant still, but they certainly weren't tethered to that space. There was a lot of interchange, a lot of fluidity, and they're supposed to be. That's the job of those players in positional play. But anyway, I was actually kind of curious to see how Roldan would play out. So I was very happy that that's where he found himself.
Yeah. Global merchants, multinational companies. Let's see. Let's get right to the timeline.
I'm kicking the timeline off this time, Bells. I'm stealing your chronology. Go I kind of do. I butt in sometimes.
What do you got?
I've got a fourth minute sequence that I thought was very good to see. It started with James Sands just collecting the ball in the back. Again, we're kind of building out of that 3-2. Which is a bit of a change. It's very similar to what we were building through all of 2019, which was like a stay-at-home left back, two center backs, and then you had like a double pivot in front of them, one of Bradley or Trapp, and then a lot of times Weston McKennie, occasionally Christian Roldan. But in this case, Williamson and Busio. So here it was James Sands on the ball under light pressure from Martinique, and Sands eliminated that pressure defender with just one touch forward, like just a little four-yard touch, which meant that that pressure defender was taking away none of the field anymore, and Sands had his had like the full complement of the field to pass into. He hit a ball into Hoppy, who had cheated into – we talk about how free-flowing it was. Hoppy was especially free-flowing. Hoppy had cheated over into Roldan's half space. Roldan, though, wasn't crowding it. He had actually flared out wide to the sideline, which he did a lot. So Roldan – or Hoppy collects the ball from Sands, shifts it out to Roldan. Roldan curls a nice ball down the channel to Shaq Moore, and then Shaq Moore whips a ball in, a great ball in. George Bello actually has a great move on the weak side on the far post to drive his man inside a step, and then he flares wide to the back post. And this is this all that Bello's whole move is like a two-step move. It's not like over 20 yards, but it freed him up 2 yards out of goal to collect this ball for free. And instead of heading it into the goal, he chested it away from the goal and then had a shot blocked.
Huh. Man, I missed that one. I missed that.
Oh, you got to watch it. It was I mean, it looked like it should have been his Sam Vines header goal, like just a free header 3 yards away that he earned. He created the space for the header. Great ball from Shaq Moore, but then just the decision for some reason at the end, he took it on his chest.
Interesting. Yeah, Bello, I think may have a very bright future, but he was he looked nervous last night. Looked nervous.
But I wanted that one in there because I really liked all of those little movements that led to it. The Sands decision, the Sands pass into the half space to a guy who wanted to get the ball in that space. Roldan's movement, his coordination with Shaq Moore, and then the whip ball in for Moore. All of those were great. And I know you had talked about before the game wanting to see Moore and Bello high. And here we had our right wing back connecting a ball from the end line to the left wing back, who was basically on top of the goal.
Yeah. They were often higher than Hoppy and Roldan, which I'm sure we'll get into more. So
right, take your chronology back.
So next item I have is in the eighth minute, there's that Busio free kick, and it's created by a slick bit of individual skill from Williamson, who kind of nonchalantly does a guy in the midfield. You know, he kind of turns towards the midfield and then just sort of turns around, does like a little pirouette away from him, and he's free. I don't know that you could say too much good about the defense there, but... But he did have a way of skipping by people, gliding by people, and creating space for himself. And then he gets fouled right at the top of the box.
And before you talk about what happens on the free kick, then not that there was too much, but I just want to say that Eric Williamson in that kind of exact movement like dominated my notes for the first 25 minutes of the match. Like he just kept doing that, and what I kept writing down, and what I want to see the U.S. do more of against weak opponents. Is to press our individual and organizational advantages. And I thought that's what we were seeing from Williamson. Like he doesn't let teams off the hook. He's going to like wait to see if you make a mistake. So he had that ball and he was like bringing it to the center of the field. And he was just kind of like waiting for movement around him, waiting for Martinique to screw up, to overcommit, to fall asleep somewhere. And that's exactly what happened. And he did that over and over again through that first 30 minutes.
Yeah. He's fun to watch. I think he got a little too nonchalant at some
very much so.
In some moments. But it is a refreshing change from some of the other midfielders that we've played over the last 2 years who just can't do that. You know, haven't been able to do that against any level of competition. So to have somebody that can make a difference there is nice to see, even if he does need to iron out sort of his sense of responsibility to not lose the ball in dangerous places. Busio has one from, I don't know, 22, 23 yards and curls it just high of the near post. Next item I have is our opening goal. 14th minute. Another Williamson shimmy on the half turn on a nice little entry pass from Sands. I mean, a pretty straightforward entry pass from Sands, actually. But Williamson receives it into the space, splitting two defenders, and plays a firmly hit diagonal ball to Bello. In the corner, Bello's able to just track it down, and tap it back to Hoppy, who whips a right-footed ball into the takes a touch, whips a right-footed ball into the box. It's a very good ball, and it hits DK right on the head. He rises and redirects it off the post. Unstoppable finish. A pretty nice goal, I think, all around. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, nice goal. I loved the stuff from Williamson. That was like the key sequence for me was what Williamson did. And then I also wanted to point out again, so Bello ends up like collecting that ball with heels on the end line. And then when Hoppy hits that ball in for DK, DK is onside because Shaq Moore has driven his marker almost into the goal. So just once again, those two wingbacks being incredibly high. I mean, they're actually at the end of the field.
Yeah. Literally the next thing, so it's 1-0 USA. The next thing I have in the timeline is 17th minute. Our wingbacks are often higher than Roldan or Hoppy. And in this case, in the 17th minute, Moore drifts inside and high as Roldan, drifts wide, and Roldan plays him in behind, and he crosses it a little behind DK, who gets a foot to it back behind himself and caroms the ball backwards towards the penalty marker, where Hoppy meets it with the side of his left foot, and it's blocked well short of the goal. But we had a lot of like good chances like this, which is what you want to see.
Yeah, and again, I think that interplay between Moore and Roldan was really good all half. I know we're probably going to fight about Roldan here as we get towards the end of the.
We're not going to fight that much about it.
Roldan was doing a lot of good things that I think maybe weren't getting picked up or they were kind of under the radar. So I'm not going to do a full-throated defense of Roldan and his role in the team going forward, but I think I will do a medium-throated defense of Roldan, certainly for this game and what he could offer against opponents that might not be as strong. Should I just do my medium-throated defense now?
Yeah, do it.
Since we're talking about him. Basically, I think this game was tailor-made for his strengths. Like, I think Roldan is very good at recognizing what an optimal play is, what the defense is giving you, and how you can take it. I don't think he's always great at executing it against really talented opponents because I think he has physical limitations that prevent him from doing that. But when you are the more talented, more organized side, I think he was doing a really good job sort of pulling these strings. I just feel like my theory is that he doesn't like diminish in quality linearly as our opponent improves. Like he hits a wall and becomes like a zero as the opponent hits a certain threshold. So I think he was really useful for this game. He could be useful throughout this tournament. But I don't know that he's ever going to be the guy that we can really like rely. I don't know if he's going to ever play his way into being a player at Honduras.
Don't ever give a medium-throated defense of me, please. Because that was pretty. That was all pretty backhanded. But yeah, he was. I get what you're saying. He was effective last night, and that interplay between he and Moore in particular, but also between him and DK, I think was there was some rhythm building going on, and some pulling people out of spaces that we wanted to exploit. That I appreciated.
So and I know I promise a lot of things while we're talking that I never follow up on, but I have the clips already cut out of Roldan in this game, and I'm honestly making like a Roldan compilation just to be like, because I'm seeing people, you know, I think reflexively say that Roldan was a nothing player tonight, and I'm like, oh no, he was pretty good tonight. I don't know that he'll ever like be useful in a tougher match, but tonight he was good. Like we gotta give him credit when he does good things.
Quick shout out for this, the Discord, and I won't do it again, but some of those clips, if I'm not mistaken, are already in the Discord.
There might be a one or two stray Roldan moments.
Yeah.
I'll go to bat for guys who have good games, you know, that they had good games on the night.
Yeah. You know, the Discord has been pretty rough on Roldan and Miles Robinson, I would say, after last night. And I'm not sure. I think maybe it's a little overmuch in both cases. But anyway, Discord's hopping. Greg's posting clips here and there. Not every day, not even every week. Okay, 19th minute. Training ground set piece. Busio to Roldan, who chips it up and back post for DK, whose header is just wide. DK climbs onto the back of somebody and beats him to it and just flashes the header wide. Flashes is a little melodramatic for what happened. He nodded it just wide. 23rd minute, we get our second goal. This one starts with a good line breaking pass from Zimmerman to DK, who holds it up and back to Roldan. And Roldan crosses for Hoppy, who has it taken off his feet just outside the six, but he sticks with it. And so does Bello, who's, you know, as usual, right there in the penalty area. And Bello tackles it off of the Martinique defender to Hoppy, who I thought did a nice job to receive it, to receive that ricochet, like with the outside of his boot, you know, almost like a, like reaching out and grabbing it with his heel. And then he back heels it to Busio, which is a nice little moment of cleverness and sauce that totally opened this play up. And Busio has a whack from 10 yards, just absolutely smites it. And it hits the crossbar, I think because the goalkeeper got a hand to it and just pushed it onto the crossbar. And it ricochets directly back downward to DK, who heads it sort of on frame. Was it on frame, do you think?
It was a scuffed header, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a scuffed header.
He scuffed his header a little. It was like glancing potentially wide, like he didn't make great contact. Maybe no, it had a ton of spin on it.
Yeah, those are tough. But Samuel Camille, the defender, kind of rainbowed it in for the own goal. I just liked Zimmerman's pass to DK. I thought that was good. And I that little bit of magic from Hoppy to Busio and the Busio strike were all good things to see.
I notice you're just going to ignore Roldan's great ball into Hoppy.
Oh yeah, I did ignore. I mean, I thought it was a pretty good.
He's very forgettable. He had a lot of the things he was doing were very unmemorable, but he was a key part of a lot of good moments.
That is true. I apologize, Christian. it was a good ball, and you know, Hoppy could have done better with it to begin with.
Yes, he could have. That's what I tracked the first time I saw it too.
But good credit to Hoppy and Busio for sticking with and Bello for sticking with the play.
Yep, sticking with the play, important. But again, it's that ever-present caveat that Martinique will be a very forgiving opponent.
Yeah. Really looking forward to this game against Canada on Sunday. I think it'll be much more interesting than the first two matches.
Before you get to your next one, oh no, keep going. You're good. I thought I was going to interject again, but that's later.
Okay. Interject whenever you want, Greg. 32nd minute, we're having a little trouble building out, and Williamson gets a pass from Robinson, and this is one of those chances where moments where he's just too nonchalant, dribbles himself into a giveaway. It doesn't come to anything because most of what Martinique didn't come to anything. But this is definitely a demerit for Williamson. One demerit, Eric.
It is, and it's hilarious for me because in my notes, the last note I had before that was, Christ, Williamson does not miss. Because he'd just been doing every little thing, was just like slick. And I don't know, is there a Williamson comp out there yet?
I don't know for sure.
I want to see it because, or maybe this will be my promise that I don't follow up on. I want to see, I'll put that one together because just like the aesthetics of what he was doing were just fantastic throughout that half up until that giveaway and foul.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit more. 36 minute, Bello gallops in from the left side and beats a couple guys and then plays, I think, a pretty poor pass to DK, you know, kind of just slams it at him from about 5 yards away. It gets recycled to Moore, and Moore has a shot/cross from the right side. Just worth mentioning because Bello didn't have a great game, but he did do a couple of nice things. He showed some flashes of ability for sure. 38th minute.
No, this is my interjection. I'm like 30 seconds after your 36th minute. So it was in between 36 and 37. Can I sneak one in?
Please.
It was like a bit of messiness from Sands and Miles Robinson. But then Sands ends up cleaning it up. This was back in in our defensive third over on Robinson's side. Sands kind of cleans it up. And then as we're playing out from there, it's a bunch of short passes. But it was Zimmerman who starts it with this just little like clipped ball to Busio, and then Busio clips the ball to Hoppy, and then Hoppy sets it back for Williamson, and Williamson hit, it's like this clipped ball, and all these clipped balls are like 7 yard passes, so we're doing like trick stuff, and again, it's just this aesthetic of what we're pulling off. Even when you play a weak team, like, this is what I want to see us doing, even though it's cavalier and a turnover it's like right in front of our box. Like, have a little bit of swagger when we're playing Martinique. And I don't mean it's disrespectful. I mean it's fun. So it was nice to see these very, like, confident players doing these things so casually.
I just a point of clarification. I believe that was all – it was not Busio. It was It was Williamson to Hoppy, Hoppy back to Williamson. Williamson.
I'm going to pull it. I'm going to have to pull it.
Okay. Well, we'll agree to disagree there. So the moment that you that led to that was when Robinson played that hospital ball back to Sands, and then Sands had to tackle the wreck a guy.
I interjected to actually take your bullet point. You already had it on there.
That's okay. It's okay. We don't have to talk about it. But I did notice. I mean, it's worth noting that Sands did rescue that moment. It was a bad pass back from Robinson. Sands wrecks one guy and then runs down and takes the ball off the guy that it sprays to. So so you do get a little sense of Robinson's shakiness and Sands' general reliability, I think, from that moment. It's emblematic of both men's evenings.
All right, and then you're certain you want to line yourself up for yet another Buzio mea culpa by saying that he wasn't involved in this little soccer tennis that they played after that?
Yeah, I think it was all Williamson.
All right, now I'll send you some carbons and some stationery for your apology.
Okay, please do, if necessary. Happy to send it. 39th minute, Hoppy goes on a ramble. He kind of Cruyff's a guy, then Meg's a guy, slips Buzio wide. And Buzio, I think I was frustrated by this moment from Buzio because he's a little bit wide. All he has to do is slip it in behind for DK. DK runs onto it, and then all DK has to do is square it for, was it Bello who was on the left?
Yes, we had a three on Bello two. Making that run.
We had a 3-on-2 going. And
yeah, it was a jailbreak.
And Buzio just passes it right to the feet of the defender between him and DK. So
yeah, it was a frustrating one.
Then Buzio gets wrecked himself after the ball comes back to him and Martinique is going the other way. And this was an example of Buzio just being not physically up for this level of competition. I just think physically he looked overmatched repeatedly in this game.
I think that's fair. That one-off pass that he missed to DK was oh man, that was a bit wasteful for what the situation was. Those things happen, those jailbreak where everyone's going full speed, getting the timing right, getting all those pieces right, is still difficult. Those are still low percentage, even though they're some of the better percentage chances that you'll get in a soccer game. So I don't want to
to trash Buzio.
I'm really not also trying to be too careful with Buzio. I did think he was less effective distributing the ball as he got into the attacking third. That even might be too harsh. But there were definitely moments where the things that he was trying to do in the attacking third just weren't coming off. But again, that's just part of attacking third soccer.
Yeah.
That one, he had a lot of space to hit DK in.
He did. That was a lot of green. He could have just slipped it in behind. It didn't have to be a perfect pass either. But I'm not trashing Buzio. I thought, like I said, after the game against Haiti, I thought he had a great cameo. And I still think I'd rather see him than Jackson Ewell. I kind of hope we see neither against Canada, but we can get into that later too. 44th minute, Zimmerman has a shot from the right side. It's just notable because Zimmerman's basically playing right wing at this point. And Roldan plays a ball to him wide. It's not a great pass because it's a hospital ball, but Zimmerman comes directly through the defender with the ball. He's one-on-one with the keeper from about 6 yards out at a poor angle, and he has one, and it's blocked.
That would have brought the house down. That would have been insane. Just to follow up, because this one didn't make your notes, I don't think, but 10 seconds later, after that Zimmerman blocked, the ball sort of moves out to the left wing, and then we win it back, and we shift it back over to Roldan in the half space on the right side, and he's within shooting range. And he does the old pullback, big windup for a big shot from distance, and then cuts it across to George Bello at the top of the box. And Bello is the pass would have put him with a good first touch. The pass put him in. It would have slipped him into goal. And Bello stumbled on the ball and tripped on it and couldn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, that was not a shining moment for Bello.
But it was a shining moment for Christian Roldan.
All right, that brings us to the half, and since it's halftime, I'm going to put the link to the Scuffed Podcast merch store, which we're calling Half Space Merchandise.
I didn't clear that. You didn't clear that with me.
No, definitely not. So Half Space Merchandise, the link is in the, and that's the spelling is going to even be more irksome to you, Greg, than the sound of it out loud, but you'll just have to appreciate that on your own time. It'll be in the show notes. If you want to buy like a t-shirt with a trumpet on it or a hoodie with a bike helmet or, you know, any other inside joke that only makes sense to like 5,000 people. Let's go to the second half. 48th minute. Moore cuts one back to Roldan for a good hit. Now this is a ball. I think Busio played it across the top of zone 14 for Roldan, and then Roldan slips Moore wide, and then Moore just plays it like directly back to Roldan at the top of the box, and Roldan hits it well. It draws a good save from Meslien.
Yeah, and this is where I guess I'll cut in to just say, again, when we're playing weak teams, and this isn't just, you know, going back to the Haiti game, and I know Haiti is a stronger team than Martinique, this game and the way we dominated, we're still like night and day, even from the 2019 Gold Cup group stage where we did put up a lot of goals, but we still, I don't think, ever had this level of control over a soccer game and exerted this much control over the attack where we could just move the ball at will, get into dangerous spots at will, and... again, without numerous great saves from Martinique here, I actually haven't seen the total expected goals numbers. Have you seen them? I feel like someone did share them with us, so I gotta. Okay, hold on, I've got it. Expected goals looks like it was at 3.1 for the U.S. on the night. It was low. I'm gonna have to check to see if we had a bunch of shooting chances that didn't materialize, and one of them would be like the Bello header instead of heading it from 2 yards out, which would be an outrageously high expected goals number. He chested it outside of the frame of the goal at very little angle and tried to shoot it past the defender, which would be a much lower expected goals. So that's also just a little tangent on the difficulty of applying single game expected goals to performance.
But what you're basically saying is that we were better in this game than we would have been in a similar game in 2019 in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, I think I'd be comfortable saying that. And remember, that 2019 team was presumably like our first choice group.
Yep.
Minus a couple of injuries.
Yeah, man. Greg Berhalter. It's all coming together. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, maybe it's some of it's coming together. I think
there's some things coming together, man. Like it makes a big difference to put more attack-minded players into your 11. Your attack gets a lot better.
Speaking of attack, well, let's move on to the 50th minute. Goal USA. It's actually one of the corners. A corner resulted from that Roldan hit that we mentioned earlier. And then there was another corner that resulted from that. And on that corner, the second corner, that is, Busio's ball trickles through all the way through from our left to our right. Williamson tracks it down on the opposite side and then clips a ball across the six for Miles Robinson to head home from, I mean, not even the six, like the four. And he just puts it in. Pretty simple finish. Nice ball from Williamson. What's the score at this point? 3-0. 3-0
USA. Is that Robinson's second goal now? He's got two?
Yeah, maybe we should play him as striker.
I just like to add guys who can threaten on set pieces. Walker Zimmerman obviously provides that. Miles Robinson, John Brooks, Aaron Long if he gets healthy.
Yeah.
We've got some goal scoring center backs.
Yeah. You love to see it. And so then the 53rd minute, nice bit of combination from Williamson, Roldan and Moore. I thought Moore pings it. So that's to get out of the back. I think it was Zimmerman who played it to Williamson. Williamson one touches it to Roldan, just oh so casually. And then Roldan one touches it to Moore, who pings it down the line for DK. And DK tries to hit Bello at the back post, but it's cut out at the last minute. It's pretty close. You know, Bello kind of throws his hands up like, oh no, almost. And
those were those sexy balls from Williamson. I'm taking it back to Williamson again, even though I know this is supposed to be the Roldan power hour. But that little... like almost like this no look little, like he just grazes it to change the angle of the pass slightly just so it goes to Roldan. He had a couple of those in the first half too. And again, that's the difference. Like, that's the difference between springing an attack against an unset defense or what other players might have done in that situation, which would have been to control the ball, shield it from the defender on your back, wait until you can pass it back to a goalkeeper or center back, and let's just reset and recirculate. And then while you're doing that and getting more stable control of the ball, the defense is getting more stable shape to defend you. So it's a huge difference in how much attack you can create if you can spring those transition moments.
Yeah.
I just am not naming any names.
No names need be named. But yeah, it's really, really good to see that. I worry a little bit with Williamson that, like, against a better team, some of those passes are going to get cut out, and then it's all of a sudden, you know, Tecatito is in the six with the ball. But man, it's better to have that risk-taking than not have it, and you know, the ability to pull it off, which he did do in a competitive soccer game in a tournament last night repeatedly.
Yep, and even the caveat about poor opponents, like in Martinique being weaker than Haiti, we weren't necessarily constrained by Haiti's level of play in that game. Like, we were very much constrained by our own willingness to exploit the spaces that they were leaving us. We weren't not at the limits of what Haiti would allow.
That's true. Yeah, it's a good point. 54th minute, Martinique gets a shot on goal here from distance, but it's a pretty good shot. It's a counterattack that I don't really know what is going on here, but Bello gets turned at midfield, and Williamson and I think somebody else, I can't remember, maybe it was Legit. No, not Legit. Williamson is caught a little high upfield. Anyway, it turns into like basically a fast break.
Down our right side, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Miles Robinson was caught upfield too. Maybe it was after a...
It was a corner. It was after a corner, okay. And it was really similar to the... was it the Jamaica goal in the friendly where Anthony Robinson didn't commit a foul?
Yeah. So Bello just needs to commit a foul there.
Bello's got
to
wrap the guy up like he can't. And this was at like midfield. I think Bello made a play earlier in the sequence where he almost had a play made. And then it came back out to his man at like midfield. And he went for the ball again. And the guy kind of just shook him a little bit, just enough to create room to shift it over to that right side where there was a total jailbreak. And yeah, Bello just has to, by any means necessary, bring the guy to the ground so that he cannot release that ball.
It shows how poor I am at the dark arts that I hadn't even thought of that possibility until you just mentioned it.
Yeah. That's a foul immediately. And again, we've seen Kellen Acosta do that in this tournament. I feel like we maybe have seen a couple other guys take fouls. Obviously, we'll get to Acosta's decision to do like a medium professional foul later.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep moving here. 58th minute. Acosta's subs on for Moore at right back, and which is, you know, a good sign that we're going to see Moore on Sunday night.
Or at least we need to be ready to, right? That just means that we don't know for sure that Cannon will be ready. So in the event that he's not, we've got Moore. We might just see Moore anyway, but we got to have that ready.
And then Joachini on for Hoppy as one of the free wingers. 59th minute. Goal USA, a throw in to DK, and he holds a guy off and turns him, you know, I don't know, right at about the dividing line between the middle third and the attacking third. And he turns him and taps it to Roldan, who kind of rifles it back into the space DK is running into. It ricochets off of DK. I'm not sure he really meant to touch it where it went, but it bounces favorably. And then he lifts it over two defenders, and this he did mean to do. And charges past them and gets to the ball first and dinks it over Meslien on the bounce. It's a really nice goal, especially the last two touches. 4-0 USA.
Uses his arms really well as he's running to, again, and this is what you're not going to see this from Josh Sargent, but he essentially creates like a bubble around himself that doesn't allow Martinique to get in and poke a ball away, right? It's just these little subtle things with his arm where he essentially stiff arms a guy, but just keeps him like leg length away so that he can't get a foot in to disrupt what DK wants to do.
Yeah.
Also thought it was funny that when DK lays that ball off and it's going to Roldan, you actually have three guys making the vertical run. You have DK, Giacchini, and I think Bello all in a line making that run.
Making the same run, basically.
And I think Roldan's pass would have been behind all three of them but for DK's, whether it's there's some good fortune or not, like a remarkable touch to put it back into his path.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a great goal. Like I said, on the last two touches, and his ability to hold up the ball and turn a guy and find feet is, and again, something we haven't always gotten from our striker in the past 2 years. 4-0, and the next thing is Acosta getting done at the edge of the box and reaching out and grabbing Fortuné, and pulling him down. It's a penalty, seems pretty clear to me, and Rivière converts it, so it's 4-1. It's a little bit of a shame that Acosta did that, because had we not conceded that goal, we would be in first place in the group right now. Now, I still think we should hope to beat Canada, and like that's sort of like the expectation, but if it does end up being a draw against Canada, it would have been nice to be ahead of them on goal differential.
Yeah, so Acosta does what you should never do, which is take an intentional foul in the box. The whole idea behind intentional fouls is to eliminate the goal scoring opportunity that's going to develop here. And he was probably a little fortunate not to get a yellow card. If you're going to call the foul, it's just a grab. He grabs him.
Yeah.
Because that would have meant he would have been suspended for the Canada game, which could have been good or bad, because if he gets a yellow card against Canada, then he's suspended for the knockout game. So maybe we would have preferred, I think Canada had a player like take an intentional yellow in their win against Haiti to be suspended for the US game rather than risk being suspended in the knockouts.
I see. Cause they're already looking forward to the quarterfinals. Then Zardes comes on for DK. Good outing from Daryl, I thought. But I should mention, right before he scored that goal, I did say on the Discord, like, I haven't been that impressed with DK tonight. And as usual, as soon as I say I haven't been impressed with somebody, they do something really amazing. That's what always happens. But I do think he needs to be, how should I say this? He did score a couple of nice goals, but in the run of play, he's still a little bit of a mess, I think. Is that fair to say? Like it's not, his combination play is not sharp, generally.
That could be fair to say. I don't know. We weren't trying to combine off of him that much. We were hitting him a lot in the channels. It was a lot of like Roldan freeing him, running down, and then it's going to be up to him to make something of it. Which he, you know, it was mixed there, but I think it's just something where you say, all right, well, he's really good at X, Y, and Z. He's not quite as good at A and B. So let's just do less of A and B and focus more on what he's like stellar at.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
And that's if he's, you know, we might even be overstating his weaknesses. Like he might be fine. We weren't really trying to combine off of him that much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is very, very hard to imagine Josh Sargent scoring that second goal and a little bit difficult to imagine him getting that first one too. So 70th minute, Zardes comes on and tells everybody to sit down. Sit down, America. Quit criticizing me. It's a Roldan pass, a curling long through ball for Zardes, and the defender kind of makes a mess out of it, but he does get a foot to it, not enough to stop the momentum of the ball, and it gets to Zardes, and he's not one-on-one with the keeper. He has a defender kind of on his shoulder, but he sets himself up and then just thrashes it into the far corner. A very, very good finish.
Shades of his second goal against Canada from the Nations League back in November 2019, where he just gets one look and thumps it.
Buries it, yeah. It's the whole thing starts, though, with James Sands, I have to mention this, solving a bit of a claustrophobic situation on the left side, because Robinson and Bello and Joe Akini can't really get out of that corner. Sands picks it up from Robinson, picks his head up, takes a couple touches to his right, and then hits a good pass to Roldan in space in the right channel of our defensive channel. And then Roldan turns and plays that ball in for Zardes. So, man, James Sands, I'd love to hear what your thoughts on him are, but I was really impressed.
Well, my thoughts have been like, I can't believe James Sands hasn't even been getting U23 looks for the last year. I know there was some time where he was out with injury, but it's not like before that he was ever involved in January camps or anything else. So I hope we continue to see James Sands in some capacity.
He looks like he's very focused and reliable and intense. And I like that.
Yeah. And just like for all of these guys who had good games today, we can use it a little bit to compare against other guys who have played in the last week. So we can use it for comparison, I think, even against guys' looks against Haiti. But again, you can't in any way say that this propels him above somebody who's not here. This doesn't put him ahead of Mark McKenzie. If you already thought he was ahead of Mark McKenzie because you watch a ton of New York City, I say totally fair play to you. I do know that there's that tendency to use the call-ups as like the part of your grading rubric. So
it's
you're
hard
like,
not
oh, McKenzie's,
to. It's hard
McKenzie's
not to.
Definitely a better center back, of course, than Sands. Oh, but unless Sands, you know, proves himself. So some people might have already had that. And I know, you know, we're sort of in that mode with like a Matt Turner. But nonetheless, like it at least gets us excited to see the guy in the next game against Canada. And that's what's really going to be the exciting part. Like you said, now can they prove it against a slightly or a much better team? Canada's much better. And then even better teams as we proceed through the tournament.
Yeah. Well, if you compare Sands to like, say, Miles Robinson,
Exactly. In this tournament, side by side, we're looking at him.
I mean, Sands was a much better player than Robinson last night. And maybe you could say, well, that's because Robinson's playing as a left center back and that's not his strong suit. But I just think like Robinson doesn't look like a player. He looks like a player who's pretty reliable defensively and certainly like a great athlete and great in the air. But he did not progress the ball hardly ever from his left center back position, whereas Sands did a lot of it. You know, in his first cap, he hasn't even played in a U.S. shirt since the U-17 World Cup, I think.
Right, and he was just like, you know, pulling strings. And so yeah, so Sands has done that. Walker Zimmerman did that a little bit in the first, or quite a bit in the first game, a little bit last night. But then the question becomes. Okay, so against certain teams, you might want, you know, there's going to be more emphasis on that particular side of the game. Against other teams, there might be more emphasis on the things that Robinson might be a little bit better than Sands at.
Yeah, fair, totally fair.
Hence the whole excitement for Canada and better teams.
Yeah. Let's finish the timeline, and then we'll get into some sort of questions about the formation and individuals. 73rd minute, good work on the half turn from Busio. This is what, like maybe the best moment of the game from him to break through Martinique's pressure. He splits two guys with just a very clever, confident touch, sends it wide to, and then he's racing forward. We're off. Sends it wide to Bello. Bello plays a good ball in behind for Jazzy Zardes, and Zardes gets caught on the ball just inside the box, but it sits up real nicely for an onrushing Joachini, and he just cracks one. Unlucky, I think. It was off the inside of the left shin of Meslien and it goes just wide. I noticed Joachini generated 0.78 XG in his limited minutes last night.
Nice work, kid. Nice hometown performance. I just wanted to say real quick, because that Busio turn, you know, I think has got people's attention. It's great and it's awesome and I like seeing it, because again, we weren't seeing anything close to that through the Haiti game. But Williamson did that like five times in the first 25 minutes. I think it's great for both of them. I'm not trying to say like Buzio's somehow not as good as Williamson. I'm just saying we should also be really excited about what Eric Williamson could potentially provide this team.
Well, you're kind of also saying that he's not as good as Williamson too, right?
No, you're not saying that.
I mean, I don't think that's too hard to say at this point.
I'm saying that we should really be thinking about, we have two excellent candidates for adding to our center midfield.
All right, Governor. 76th minute, Miles and Bello get beaten in behind. I don't know why I put that in the timeline, but they did. And then 79th minute, Pines for Zimmerman and Ewell for Williamson off the bench. So I don't have anything until the good 87th minute, a good cross from Roldan to Zardes. First touch is okay, but can't get a shot off from the six. Just another moment of brilliance from Christian Roldan. And then in the 90th minute, we get
Rodon fired that ball at Zardes. So if anyone's wanting to like use this as a Jazzy Zardes lead feet situation, like that was tough, man. I don't think Rodon could have hit that ball harder if he had wanted to. He hit it as hard as he could.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing Jazzy too much for that. 90th minute.
Also hold on real quick. Is that 76 that dummy entry you had in here about Miles and Bello getting beat? Is that when Turner made his ridiculous save? Is that the Turner save?
No, because that's in the 92nd minute. That's just, I think, Donovan Pine. Well, let me say the 90th minute one. When Gioacchini gets his goal, he drew, you know, he had that one earlier I mentioned that he smiled about when it didn't go in, and then a header on a corner that got saved, and then a cross to his feet cut out at the last minute, the last moment. This time, Yule tries to shoot from 20 yards, and it's a perfect pass wide to Busio when it deflects off a defender. And then Busio just takes a touch and zips it across the 6 foot, and Gioacchini bundles it in with his right foot. Martinique not probably exerting superior effort at this point in the game. But anyway, it's good. I'm happy to see Gioacchini get a goal. 6-1, and that's how it ends. Thanks to Matt Turner in the 92nd minute.
Okay.
I think Donovan Pines gets caught a little out of position on a pretty straightforward ball to a guy at the top of the box. And then he gets beaten, and the guy takes a left-footed shot, and Turner saves it to his left. The XG, I think we figured out, was about 0.25 on that shot, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
According to Instat. It was not a perfect finish, but it was force him to move and dive.
It was a real good save.
Yeah.
That's a really good save for the distance from him to the shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, totally defer to you on that. Well, let's talk about Turner. What's your assessment of him? Has it changed at all since the tournament began?
I don't think so. He saw a handful of shots in this game, not too many, but more going back to the Haiti game. Haiti hit a couple of balls at our frame, and while none of the saves he made were terribly difficult, he made them very well. There's no rebounds. We got our taste in this game of sort of his shot stopping like ceiling and how good that is. So to date, he's been beaten on one penalty kick out of two, and that's it as far as goal scoring chances.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
where are you at? Are you worried about his ability to connect with his feet?
I'm a little bit worried about that, and I'm a little bit worried about his control of the box. I mean, we talked about that time at that moment at the end of the Haiti game where he was probably fouled, but it just didn't look commanding at all, you know, trying to come out to claim that ball.
That's fair. As far as his footwork stuff, I honestly think I think I made the comment on Twitter that will be as relevant as Tyler Adams' ability to hit the long diagonal. And it will probably end up being as relevant as Daryl DK's ability to combine in tight spaces in the middle third. Like, whether they can do it or not, they can do it a little regardless, and who cares? They're amazing at something else that really helps us win soccer games.
Okay. Zimmerman. Seems like he's showing good signs. And it's like Brooks. For me, it's Brooks and Richards as the top pairing. But I can understand why someone like Alexi Lalas, who probably doesn't watch a lot of Hoffenheim, might say otherwise. I do think Zimmerman, I would feel more comfortable with Zimmerman as Brooks's partner today than I would have, you know, a week ago. I think that's where I stand.
I like Zimmerman a lot, man. And I just feel like we're in a really good place where I don't remember when it was one of our last top 40s where we had like a 9-way tie for our second center back. I feel very good about our options at center back.
Yeah.
Going into World Cup qualifying. Well, I'm happy to let them sort themselves out.
I think Zimmerman and McKenzie for me are fighting for that, you know, third spot at the moment, but Richards still has to sort of prove it in a U.S. shirt, that's for sure.
Right. It's just you're expecting him to, right?
I do.
You'd be surprised if he doesn't, if he somehow shells up.
Exactly.
Okay. I think that's fair.
James Sands. What do you think? You've been calling for his inclusion for a long time.
I had, but to be fair, like at least 70% of that was to test him out at the six. So here he is as a center back. And he was very good in a three center back setup. And we'll talk, I'm sure, in just a second about how he could fit going forward. Does it have to be as a third center back? Could it be in a two center back system? Could he potentially play as a six? Should we just talk about it now?
Yes, because I think this sort of leads into the question of like what do we think of the three man back line and going forward as an option for the national team. And I honestly don't have a real strong feeling on it at the moment. I guess. Like you were just sort of saying, if you have Sands as the middle center back, then you can have two more aggressive eights. I mean, then if you had a healthy Tyler Adams, would you play him as one of the eights? Him and
McKennie?
Are you
asking me that?
Yeah.
Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely would. So if you're gonna do this three center backs, at least Greg Berhalter, I wouldn't expect him to run a single six then. If he's going to go three center backs, I think it'll be three and then a double pivot in front of him. It'll be a 3-2, which again is what he did. He's done that a lot. He's done a ton of that in the build-up phase in possession to build out of a 3-2 for the U.S. So if we run three center backs, yeah, you're getting two center midfielders. So you're dropping a center mid. You're not going to do three in the back and then Buzio as your six and then two eights ahead of him. You would be dropping somebody from center mid. And it would have the same effect as starting James Sands as your six. So then you put two eights ahead of him.
Yeah.
But it does give those guys that license, those two eights, to go forward the way they, the way our dual eights do ahead of a single six. So we saw that last night. I think within a minute, there was a sequence where Gianluca Busio was arriving at the top of the box in the attack. Jackson Ewell wasn't going to do that, not just because it was Jackson Ewell against Haiti, but because our lone six isn't going to be making that run into the top of the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if Adams makes sense as one of those eights. I mean, he is one of our best players, one of the best American players. So yeah, he's going to start if he's healthy, but does he make as much sense in one of those eight roles where the job is to push the game forward?
He does it a lot for Red Bull. I would say that is a closer analog to his role with Leipzig than to be the lone six ahead of two center backs. He's almost always got a center mid right next to him on his line ahead of a back. That's when he's not playing as more of like a right wing player,
yeah,
which I don't think we're going to use him in that role. So that sort of double pivot is a perfect perfect fit. There's never going to be a perfect fit because Leipzig do so many, every club does so many things, their own way. But that's a much better fit for him comparatively than being that lone six.
So do you like this 3-2-4-1?
I think they both work. I don't think we need to have, I'd be happy to see them both run out until one becomes a much better option than the other. I think on paper, I don't have a problem with either one of those setups.
Yeah. Okay.
So long as we aren't getting, again, too cute and leaving a really good player off of the field to bring on a mediocre player. So whoever we add has to sort of earn his keep. And if Gianluca Buzio is doing amazing over these next games, like as a lone six in a two center back setup, then I wouldn't want to drop him for a pure center back to go to three center backs. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, what about Miles Robinson? Do we need to say anything else about him?
No, I think we've covered him at length here. I really want to see him see whether he stands out in a game against tougher competition where he's going to be tested and to see if he passes those tests. Because I think that would be his value that he would add to the team is his ability to clean things up when things need to get cleaned. And there just wasn't much cleaning required in our first two games.
Yeah. And I guess I'll just say Busio and Bello both didn't have great games last night, but they're both still very young, and I'm not trashing either of them, just for the record. I think they have a chance to be great players, and I'm rooting for them. Williamson, we've covered in detail already. Thought he looked great, except for that perhaps over casualness with the ball on occasion. You've already done your medium throated Roldan defense. And
yeah, I'll do my medium throated Roldan criticism. He wasn't very good in the press, I didn't think. I thought he was iffy on like sealing off areas of the field that it was his job to seal off. And then I don't think he was particularly effective in any cage matches. I thought he actually was dainty going into challenges, and other times got fully little brothered, as we've kind of come to expect. So again, he's much more valuable when we're way better than the opponent. Once people get close to him in that knife fight, like, he's probably going to lose that one.
Yeah. And then Hoppy, we've already talked about DK a lot. So Hoppy is the last one. I thought he had some good moments, particularly that back heel and the time when he galloped through the midfield, and the lovely ball on DK's opener. So he's got some magic to offer, I think. I'd like to see more of him.
This will be my time to throw in. This isn't just about Hoppy. This is for all of these guys that we are talking about as having really good games. Keep in mind, like, over the last 6 months, 8 months now, 10 months, since December, we've seen a lot of guys have really good games. We saw Jonathan Lewis have a great game in January. We saw Chris Mueller have a great game in November. Jesus Ferreira dominated in January. I might have gotten some of those months wrong, but you get my point. Like, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to have a role in the team going forward, not even a guarantee that they're going to be particularly effective the next time they play. So... That's my sort of cautionary tale.
I'm not even saying that Hoppy had a great game. I just said so there were some positive things to take away from it, and I'd like to see more of him. But yeah, your point is well taken. And then Zardes and Giochini both got goals off the bench. I didn't notice anything really from Yule or and Acosta had that foul that probably could have been a yellow card that resulted in the goal for Martinique. If we're going to do the same formation, well, go ahead.
No. Well, I was going to throw in one little Acosta beat. I hope he's not going to be our medium term solution at right wing back. Hopefully, it's mostly Moore and Cannon and Areola. I don't know, but
why do you think Berhalter played him there?
Because he couldn't play Cannon there because Cannon's hurt, and he didn't want Moore to be gassed for Canada on Sunday. I think that's all it is.
Okay,
just needed a body. And if there's one thing Kellen Acosta has shown, it's that when you need somebody to just fill a spot, he can be that guy.
His versatility is really, it wasn't a great performance last night off the bench, but his versatility is a real asset. I say that every episode just about.
But that whole thing came because I was going to sneak in. He had one really effective pass into Roldan. It was what led to Roldan smashing that ball in at Zardes. It through like a non-existent window to put Roldan into that Man City assist space. But again, just I think he is an incisive passer. I think he has like a reputation perhaps of being more of like a destroyer because we've used him as that backup six, and he's not like he doesn't have the same profile as the Yule or as the Trap or the Bradley. But like I do think people are underestimating his passing. He's certainly not like a defensive specialist. Like, he's a good passer of the ball.
I agree. I've always thought that, actually. If we're going to do the same formation on Sunday, who would you like to see in the 3-2-4-1?
You asking me?
Yeah.
All right. I want Turner. I want Zimmerman, Sands, and Miles. I don't care about right back. It could be Moore. It could be Cannon. I don't care about the double pivot. We have four guys who I'd be happy to see between Acosta, Legette, Williamson, or Buzio. Give me any of them. So I'm very non-committal there. I think I want Vines at left back. I sure wish we had like a Matt Hollingshead or honestly, like I'm very curious how Hollingshead would look in that role.
Ryan Hollingshead, but yeah.
Oh, sure. Is there a Matt Hollingshead?
I think he's a catcher for the Phillies or something. I don't know.
Part of the Nixon administration. So I want Ryan Hollingshead at left back if we can make that change. And then I don't really care about the half space merchants either. It could be Areola, it could be Legette, it could be Roldan, it could be Hoppy. probably one of the probably two of those four, and then DK up top. So that was a lot of dice rolls for some of those spots.
I agree with everything except I want it to be Moore instead of Cannon.
Okay.
I'd like it to be Acosta and Williamson in the double pivot, and then Roldan and Legette as the half space merchants. If it's Hoppy as one of the half space merchants and Legette as one of the center mids, that's fine with me too. And of course DK up top.
Well, then let me ask you, what's your formation if we do two center backs? And do you have a preference between three center backs or two for Canada?
Well, if we're going to do four center backs, I want it to be Sands as the six.
So essentially like almost indistinguishable, right?
I guess, yeah. I guess you could say that. I mean, you'd have Sands pushing a little further forward, maybe doing a little more destroying forward than he did last night. Well, he did some. And Sands receiving the ball on a vertical way from the center backs rather than side to side.
But you wouldn't have to. I mean, you could still defend with your four and still have Sands drop back there in possession and build out of a 3-2 if you like that better. And again, I feel like the reason that we were having it be Yule is because we were basically trusting him to do all of this line breaking for us when he wasn't very good at it. And so if you're like, oh, well, Sands won't do that, so we won't ask him to. You would get the same effect that we had last night of Sands dropping in, bringing your eights back to let them do all these slick turns and combining and interchanging and arriving at the box. So you could still do that and then get back into your defensive shape of a four.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, half a dozen, one, six the other. I guess Sands just had such a calming. To my eyes, such a calming influence in the back last night. Now we did give up some chances, and the XG numbers bear that out. But he seemed like a calming influence defensively.
I'll give it to you, but I'm reluctant just because I mean he definitely was. He looked calm yesterday. You got to look calm in the games that it's really easy to look calm in.
Yeah, well, just like we said earlier, not everybody did that.
All right.
I don't know that Robinson looked particularly calm. And Bello didn't. Vines didn't look calm against Haiti.
Yeah, that's fair. Those are all fair. Sands definitely. Sands was just as calm against Haiti, I'd say, too. We're talking a lot about like just a tranquil back line.
Wait, Sands was calm against Haiti?
Yeah, when Sands went in against Haiti, like he added immediate like composure to what we were doing when we were passing around the back.
Yeah.
I don't know, what, for like 10 minutes? How long did he play against Haiti?
That's true. Okay. I think we should wrap it up. I'm at a hotel room in Western Iowa for my wife's family reunion. I got to get back to the cabin.
What are you, like 4 hours from Kansas City? What are you doing? What are you doing there? You could dip out.
Might as well be 4,000 hours from Kansas City. I'm not going anywhere, bro. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you.